Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good evening, listeners. You've just tuned in to the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show. I'm Rosita De Jesus, and I'm joined by my brother in the martial arts, Sifu Robert Deal. Sifu Robert, how you doing today?
Oh, I am doing wonderful. Yeah, this is a great day. I'm feeling good. Couple things. You know how you and I, every once in a while, not that we're old or anything, we make reference to things that make us sound old. Vinyl,
right.
real, right? Uh-huh. I'm taking my daughter to an ortho appointment to get an ortho consultation for her braces. And we were talking about my dentist. My dentist had passed away about 2 years ago. Uh-huh. And I said, wow, he started that office when I was 16. And my wife says, well, what was it like back then? What were the dentist chairs made of stone or what?
She said that, really?
Yes. Good thing she was in the back seat.
Oh, my gosh. I get my niece. I remember some years ago, I think it was about maybe 12 years ago or something, my niece has asked my sister and I if we had CDs when we were kids. And we said, sure we do. So I went in the back room and I got out an LP.
Nice.
And they're like, how do you put that in a CD player? I was like, ayah.
Well, I'm looking forward to this show. We're going to have a great show.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a great show. And I'm glad I got home on time. And you too. Because I was afraid that I wasn't going to get here on time to be able to set up the studio board. Oh, my goodness. But we're here. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get the show on the road. Now, before we get into our usual first segment of health news and shout-outs and Bob's Weird News, let's go ahead and have Sifu Robert go ahead and introduce our special guest today, and they can join us in being guest co-hosts for the first segment.
Very cool. Well, our first guest is Grandmaster Richard Nunez. He is the last remaining founder of the Lima Lama system, and we've also got one of his students and a personal friend of mine, Master Mike Rivera, online. Let's welcome them both.
Right on. Welcome.
Hi there.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us. Awesome. And you guys get applause, too. That's awesome. Awesome. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to go ahead and start the show with our shout-outs and health news and Bob's Weird News. And please, Grandmaster Nunez and Master Rivera, feel free to comment at any time because this is the fun part of the show. Not that the rest of the show isn't going to be fun; it will be fun. But this is the time where you know we let down our hair. Well, at least I I don't know about you, Bob, but well,
you know you're number one with me.
Yeah, I know, right?
Just guess which finger it is right now.
Yeah, I know. I love you too. I'm number one in Bob's book. Woohoo! It's our time to let down our hair and just have fun with this first segment. So as far as shout-outs, I just want to put out a couple. I want to put out a shout-out to Hunchy Dan Heck. His show is back on the air on KCAA 1050 AM in Loma Linda, California, and his show is kicking it old school, and he just started airing again last Tuesday at 2 p.m. Hanshi Dan Heck is the CEO of the Masters Hall of Fame, and the kicking it old school initially started out as being a way to promote the Masters Hall of Fame, but now he brings on like all sorts of great martial arts guests and legends in the martial arts. So every Tuesday at 2 p.m. KCAA 1050 AM. Just go ahead and look up the website for KCAA 1050 AM, and then all you have to do is go to the left-hand side of the page in the navigation bar and click Tuesday, and you'll be able to find his show. So go ahead and check that out every Tuesday at 2 p.m. One more shout-out. I'd like to say that the Pacific Association of Women's Martial Artists is taking applications for teachers to teach at this year's training camp that is going to be held in early October. Now, the Pacific Association of Women's Martial Artists is one of the, if not the oldest, women's-only martial arts organizations in the United States, if not the world. And since it is since the camp is for women only, the only prerequisite to be able to apply as a teacher for this is that you have to, A, be a teacher, a black belt, or a certified coach in your given art, and you have to be a woman. So, guys, I don't know. You can't put on a skirt.
Well, leave me out.
No, you're not allowed to wear a skirt.
So, I don't have a leg for it.
I'm going to wear a dress. Well, makeup, a wig, anything.
There you go. What was the name of that old movie with John Lennon?
Mrs. Doubtfire?
No, not Mrs. Doubtfire. It was an older movie, like back in the 50s. I forgot the actors. Yeah, it was a couple of guys back in the 50s, and they dressed
something
up like
hot
women. Something
Tom
like
Hanks,
hot, thank you.
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, so we can't do that, gentlemen. So for the women out there, if you want to apply to be a teacher, we're taking applications until May 1st. So you want to go to pawma.org for information on this year's event, or to apply to be a teacher or to register for camp. Now, the training camp is open to girls and teen girls and women from all arts, any rank. So, you know, please don't think that you have to be an upper rank or a black belt to train at this camp. You know, beginners can come in, and you get trained by some of the best women martial artists in the world. So go check it out, pawma.org. All right. And I've got just one more shout-out, and then we'll go to Bob's shout-outs and some shout-outs of our masters here. I just got back from a cool two-day workshop learning how to make knives. And I just want to put a shout-out out there to Mr. David Lish, and he's the chief instructor at Studio 4 here in Seattle, Washington. And he actually has classes on how to make knives and big blades, Bowie knives, the whole nine yards. And this particular workshop that he did, I will recommend to anybody, even if you don't know the difference between the tang of a knife and the point of a knife, if you've never used a grinder before, this is the class to go to, because he is so patient and he'll explain everything to you. You know, I have very little experience making knives at all, and I came home with a really cool one. So go check it out. His just look up Studio 4, STUDIO, number 4, Seattle, on the Internet, and you'll be able to find him, David Lish, L-I-S-C-H, David Lish, Studio 4. All right, let's go to Bob's shout-out.
Well, I do want to shout out to Scott Jacoby's class, because I understand a number of them are listening today. Mike and Patrick and Kirby. I don't think my son's listening. He's at a friend's house. But those are the shout outs I got this week.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and scoot on over to Grandmaster Richard Nunez and Master Rivera. Do you guys want to say hi to anybody? Or do you have any shout-outs or events coming up?
Mr. Nunez?
What's that?
Mr. Nunez?
Hello, everybody. Mike,
Mr. Nunez,
Mike.
Yes, I'm right here.
Hello. What's the question you want to ask?
Well, let's go ahead and start with Master Mike. Master Mike, do you have any shout-outs or events that y'all have coming up?
I'll, I like to say hi to all the guys that go to the Black Map. That's the organization. That's the school that we teach at. I want to say hi to everybody over there. I didn't get a chance to see them this Saturday. And any other Lima Lama practitioners and followers of the system, I like to say, you know, shout out to them too. That's
awesome.
That's about it for me.
Awesome. And Grandmaster Nunez, would you like to say hi to anyone, or do you have any events coming up?
The tournament coming out in July. That'll be at the Double Tree Hotel.
Uh-huh.
And the Warriors are the Warriors of Lima Lama. They come from all over. They come from all over. So it's a nice tournament
cool.
to put together.
Awesome. What's the location of that particular tournament, Grandmaster?
The location is going to be at the Double Tree Hotel, and it's going to be in Norwalk. 1311. What is that? Kikamon Drive in Norwalk.
Okay. Kikamon Drive.
It's a big tournament that we put together, and sometimes we put tournaments at Chihuahua, and Jalisco, Durango. All over.
Oh, awesome. Very cool. Well, we'll make sure to post that information on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page a little bit later, so that way everyone else can check it out.
That would
awesome.
Be great. That'd be nice.
Yeah, yeah. You bet. We'll do our best to promote that event. All right. Let's go ahead and go to our next segment, which is Health
News. Can I introduce somebody here that I'm with me right now?
Yes, sir, please.
Okay. This is Fabricio Gomez from Mexico. He's won so many tournaments. He's been in the Hall of Fame 3 or 4 times. I want you to say hi to him. Go ahead.
Hi, hello.
Hello. Welcome, Master Gomez. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, you know what? This is a pleasure being with you. I just came home to visit my grandmaster, and I got the news that he's going to be with you. And God bless you, and God bless him, because this is a great opportunity to tell everybody, you know, that God took martial arts for a reason.
Exactly, yes. And thank you. Thank you for
Hello,
joining
Fabricio.
Us.
Hello,
Fabricio. You know?
Very cool. So, yes, Master Gomez, feel free to listen on the computer if you'd like, and then if you'd like to talk at any time, I guess... you and Grandmaster Nunez can share the phone, I guess. But it's a pleasure having you join us, too. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to our health news. Now, this particular link to the health news story that I want to do today will be posted on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. So it'll be there by the time break shows up. All right. And before I get into that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute some sound here because we're getting a little bit of feedback. I think, Master Mike, are you outside?
No, I'm inside
okay.
the house.
Oh, okay. I wonder if it's Grandmaster Nunez's phone that might be outside. I'm going to go ahead and mute Grandmaster Nunez's mic for now, so that way... it is his mic. Okay. So we'll just go ahead and we'll just mute it for now, and we'll bring your mic up in just a little bit, Grandmaster Nunez, so that way we can just get this quick news story out. All right. So the health news that I want to go over, we'll do this really quick, is about the way in which people respond to everyday stress could be an accurate predictor of their long-term mental health. And this story comes from a study that was published in the journal Psychological Science. Now, the study, which was led by Susan Charles, a UC Irvine professor of psychology and social behavior, aimed to find out whether everyday irritations can potentially harm or even strengthen us. What happened is they gathered information from two different longitudinal, I can't even say it right today. Oh, my God. This is what I get for running on empty all day. I haven't even eaten yet, and I just my brain's, like, fried. But two different surveys, okay, that gathered information from two different surveys conducted in the U.S., and the data indicated that participants who responded to a daily stressor So, you know, maybe like an argument or a or maybe like a bossy supervisor or whatever, if they responded to those stresses in a negative emotional way, they were at an increased risk of psychological distress and mood disorders later in life. Now, a common misconception, though, is a lot of people will say, "Oh, you know, it's being in an argument with your wife. That's, you know, that's what's making you grumpy today." When in fact, it's not necessarily the argument; it's how you deal with it. So, you know, I guess, you know, some people could say, "Don't blame the situation." In a way, you have to blame the way you react to it. Now, Susan Charles, professor at UC Irvine, she says, how we manage daily emotions matters to our overall mental health. We're so focused on long-term goals that we don't see the importance of regulating our emotions. Changing how you respond to stress and how you think about stressful situations is as important as maintaining a healthy diet and an exercise routine. So, you know, according to these studies, a lot of times how we perceive how we're reacting to stuff is as important as healthy diet and exercise. You got, you know, too many people out there that are so like gung-ho about their working out and da-da-da, but they're still grumpy. Why is that? Well, it's because of how they react to stuff. Now, a total of 711 men and women between the ages of 25 and 74 who were involved in midlife development in the United States, whew, 711 men and women who were involved in the Midlife Development in the United States project. I didn't know that was a project. And the National Study of Daily Experiences were analyzed. So over 700 people. And the results indicated that while major life events can have drastic effects on people's well-being, even minor emotional experiences contribute to overall mental health outcomes. So it's not just the big things like losing your job, getting a divorce, or going into a new job or going to a new school. It's even the little things. Professor Charles also concluded it's important not to let everyday problems ruin your moments. After all, moments add up to days and days add up to years. Unfortunately, people don't see mental health problems as such until they become so severe that they require professional attention. So great advice from this particular study. Now, there's more on this particular story, so if you want the full write-up on this story about how your negative emotional responses can affect long-term mental health, please go to our Dynamic Dojo Facebook page, and the link will be there before we take our first break. Awesome, and that's it for my health news. I think it's time for Bob's
Weird News.
All right, what do we got for weird news there, buddy?
Well, this is a strange one. Now, the strange thing to me is that this article said nothing, really. It didn't have a lot of substance to it, but Lady Gaga turned down a $1 million check to perform at the Republican National Convention.
A million bucks. Well, that's like pocket change to her.
I know. The eyes were like going, yeah, I'd take it. But
I'll
the
take
Washington
it.
The Washington Examiner reported on a new lawsuit late Sunday for proving that Lady Gaga was floated a paycheck for a seven-figure. You're contagious tonight, Rosita. A seven-figure paycheck to perform at the Republican National Convention last summer. Rob Jennings, the guy in charge of booking entertainment for the weekend, was instructed to try to make the offer to Lady Gaga more tempting by telling her it was for an event honoring women who run for public office. The Examiner reported Gaga turned them down, so did Pitbull, Dolly Parton, Melissa Etheridge, and the Indigo Girls.
The Indigo Girls. Well,
right.
I can see why they they turned it down.
Yeah, and, me too.
And Dolly Parton? And wow. Huh. Well, and this was for a Republican convention.
Yeah, it was probably Democrats. I understand.
I had to look at the notes and make sure it was a Republican. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Now we're gonna move on to weird laws. Now these weird laws.
I love weird laws. Okay.
It is illegal to ogle a woman from a moving car. But that doesn't say you can't do it standing in front of her. You just can't do it while driving.
Unfair.
That's right.
That's right. Unfair.
And this is weird.
Okay.
Under state law, dentists are officially classified as mechanics. How weird is that?
Well, that sucks.
Mechanics?
Mechanics.
I wonder if that's because, you know how like when you have to like pay state taxes and stuff like that, you have to categorize your business. I don't see where dentists can be considered mechanics. I mean, I'm considered like health and physical fitness and stuff like that, but mechanics?
I know. And last one, it is illegal to serenade your girlfriend.
Okay, this gets this again. Here we go.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, that does. Oh, my God. You can't be romantic and pull out the guitar and serenade your girlfriend and stuff. That sucks.
That's right.
Let's do that. All right. Well, I think that's it for our weird news and the weird laws. There was only three?
Yep, that was it.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, why don't we do this then? Why don't we take a really short PSA break? It's only going to take about a minute and a half, and then we'll be right back. And we don't have a trivia question today because I was in a rush trying to get the show started. So no trivia question today, folks, and not even any trivia facts of the week. Deborah Joy Evans, one of our regular listeners, just asked, where are these laws from? What state? They're from
Michigan.
Thank you. I was like trying to find the notes here. Okay. Well, why don't we do this? Let's go ahead and take a quick PSA break. And after we get back, we'll get started with our interview with Grandmaster Richard Nunez and Master Mike Rivera of Lima Lama. So stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, everyone. Join Hanshi Daniel Hecht on Kicking It Old School on KCAA 1050 AM on Tuesdays at 2 o'clock. He will bring you more great interviews with legends, leaders, and people that have made a difference in the martial arts and in people's lives. You can call in with questions or comments for our guests at 909-888-5222. So join Hanshi Daniel Hecht on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. here on KCAA 1050 AM, Kicking It Old School. Hi, this is Eddie Morales from Kicking It Old School on KCAA 1050 AM. I want to take this opportunity to invite you to the martial arts event of the year, the Masters Hall of Fame, on Saturday, June 22nd, 2013, at the Orange County Hilton, located in Costa Mesa, California. This year's theme is Women in the Martial Arts. Our guest speaker will be Lisa the Black Widow King. We will be honoring many legends in the martial arts. Join Dan and I from Kicking It Old School at the Masters Hall of Fame, Saturday, June 22nd, 2013. Get your tickets now at mastershalloffame.org.
Experience the history, beauty, culture, and tradition of the martial arts at the world's first Martial Arts History Museum. Located in the city of Burbank, California, visitors will enjoy learning how Asian history became part of American history. For more information, visit our website at mamuseum.com.
And now, on with the show.
All right. If you are just now tuning in, you've just tuned into the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show with Rosita and Robert. Our special guests tonight are Grandmaster Richard Nunez and Master Mike Rivera of Lima Lama. So let's go ahead and reintroduce our special guest, Grandmaster Richard, welcome, and Master Mike, welcome again.
Thank you very much.
10.
All right. Very cool. Well, let's go ahead and start our discussion. So, listeners, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. If you have any questions whatsoever, please feel free to call in, 347-677-0699. Now, you can listen to the show on your phone. All you have to do is call in. You don't have to do anything. However, if you want to talk live with us, please press 1 anytime you'd like to talk live on the air with us. We also have our chat board going on, so if you're listening live on Blog Talk Radio, just scroll down under the show marquee and you'll find a flash chat board, and you automatically log in when you listen to the show. So you can just go in, type your questions there, and you can also talk to me privately because I'm the one looking at the chat board. So if you have any questions that you want to ask our guests but don't want to call, let's go ahead and type it in right there in the chat board. All right, looks like we have one person on the chat board already. All right, well, Grandmaster Nunez and Grandmaster Mike, I'm pretty sure that all our listeners would like to know about your martial arts background first. So why don't we go ahead and start with Grandmaster Nunez. So Grandmaster Nunez, can you tell us a little bit about how you got started in the martial arts?
Well, it's a long term. I was a boxer at that time when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
I was a regular boxer, and I met Bruce Lee. He's still there. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, but we hear a lot of interference in the background.
Okay.
Are we outside, or... It usually helps if you're talking on your speakerphone, that usually degrades our sound also.
Okay, I took out the speaker. Okay, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, we can hear you better now. Yeah, you know, for some reason, Blog Talk Radio doesn't work all that well if you're on speaker because it creates a big loop,
okay,
and it just sounds weird. Okay, so you met Bruce Lee.
I met Bruce Lee. I used to be a boxer at that time when I met him. And I worked out with him. At that time, I was a boxer. And that's how I got interested in martial arts.
Mm.
And then when I got in, he saw me. He was in Chinatown, and I worked out with him for a little bit. He kicked me all over the place. I didn't even know what happened, okay? Because it was pretty good, pretty fast. It was martial arts. So I went home, and I told my uncles, because my uncles were champions, boxers. Cisco Andrade, Frank Andrade. They were champions at that time. And I told him, you know, I met a guy that really kicked me all over the place. Well, he told me, can you kick in the telephone booth? I said, no. Well, then smother him. But I didn't know how to fight a martial artist.
Mm-hmm.
So later on in the future, I went by there 6 months later, and I saw him. And I said, do you want to work out? Hell yeah, I work out. I smothered him. I hit him 4 or 5 times. He was in the floor. Then he looked at me and he said, you know what? Now you know how to fight a martial artist. I didn't know how to fight him. That he was a nice man, very gentle man, very respectful, very philosopher. He said one thing that I never forgot. Feel your horizon. Well, don't forget, I was a Chican from East L.A. I was a crazy local guy, you know, and I was a boxer. I said, what the hell is this guy talking? Build my horizon. Well, what I did is I quit boxing, and I went to martial arts for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then after 15 years, I got into Kenpo, martial arts. And then I know what he meant by learn building horizon. That means learn a little bit of judo, a little bit of aikido, a little bit of weapons, a little bit of everything. So never bury yourself in one thing. And that's what I did. Okay? Then I got into Lima Lama. Then I got into Lima Lama, which is the style of all styles. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been there a long time. Then I quit martial arts for 25 years. Then I did security for a lot of stars, Debbie Reynolds, Ray Charles. We used to have a club named Crescendo, one of the biggest clubs in Anaheim. I used to bring all the stars in there to play. And that's when I got involved. I got involved. I had a limousine company, dating company, a security company, and I got involved a lot in martial arts. I started teaching a lot of doctors, lawyers, and I got involved with a lot of people with money, I guess, what you call it. Okay? And this is the way I got Mama. I got involved in it, and I enjoy it. I've been doing it for 50 years. I haven't stopped. Okay? and I'm still doing it, and I enjoy it. I have schools over there in Mexico, about 20 schools. I got Fabricio Gomez in Tijuana. So, you know, I do very well. I'm happy. I'm happy what I'm doing. I'm 79 years old. I'll be going on Navy pretty soon. Okay?
Awesome. I hope when I turn 79 that I'm still kicking strong like you are.
Me too.
I feel good. I still move. Mike can tell you. You know, I work out with Mike, and Mike knows me already. And the important thing is I feel good. That's the important thing. I tell everybody, martial arts is a guy. It's a style. Learn to run, work out, keep yourself in condition, eat the proper foods, and enjoy life. Okay? Then people tell me, how do you move so good? I tell them, well, I take a lot of Viagra, okay?
Oh, he needs a rim shot for that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say that, but I couldn't help it. Okay?
Oh no, we're fun here on this show.
Okay. The important thing is that I have to enjoy my life. I got a beautiful wife. I've been married 4 times. You know what I mean? So I had a good life. Okay.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Master Mike, how about you? How did what are your beginnings in the martial arts? How did you get started?
Well, I got started in Okinawan Kempo way back in 1965 with the Tracy brothers in Arizona. And then after that, about 8 years, and then I moved to California. I had to get out of town. I just got divorced. My wife was after me. So I moved to California, and I started with Lima Lama. I received my first degree black belt from the Grandmaster Tino Torresega in 1982, and my second and my third. And then after that, I went with Grandmaster Richard Nunes, and I've been with him ever since. And it's been about 40 years that I've been with Grandmaster Richard Nunes. Actually,
wow.
38 years that I've been with him. And we fought back and forth, and he taught me a lot of moves. When
go ahead.
And as a matter of fact, maybe it's not funny, but when I was trying to learn Lima Lama and the footwork, I could not get that. He did take me to a country western bar. And I just learned how to do the two-step and everything. I learned how to dance country western, and that's why I picked up the movement of my feet. Now, in the past 48 years, yes, we have Lima Lama. It is diversified. We use other styles. I did learn Aikido and some judos and some taekwondo, things like that, to round off the system. But my heart and soul is in Lima Lama. And Lima Lama means hands of wisdom, and that's what I use. My hands are mostly... that's it. My hands are 90% hands. And I just turned 69 years old, April 3rd, so I'm still going strong. I can outrun Mr. Nunes, and nothing that's saving me. I'm saving my life right now. he can't reach me anymore. I can say, I want him running away, and he can't fight. He can't run after me anymore. But we've been together since Second Sin, and he's had 4. I had 3 ex-wives, and we've known each other since that long.
Wow.
And then we met Fabricio, quite a long time ago. And I used to go over there to Mexico. Warm, wonderful person. The school is fantastic. The people are great. His family was great. You know, they just welcomed me. And we learned a lot. So we come, like I said, we do have other schools that, we have a lot of schools in Mexico that are under Grandmaster Richard Nunes. They come down and visit. And you know, we work out, share ideas. Really about it.
Very cool. Very cool.
Cecil, it was funny. I was talking to Master Mike a little earlier in the week, and I'm supposed to teach 6 for Scott Jacoby this morning, and my phone plugged in my car, so I get this text from Sensei Mike, and it says, I celebrated my birthday last night with all my kids. I am in really no condition to drive right now, so I'll see you later.
My kids tired me out. We went down to dinner, we went bowling, we went to movies, and, drank a couple of beers, and I just had a great time for my birthday. I'm an old man. I need to rest.
You have to rest. Grandmaster Richard, or Grandmaster Richard, how was Lima Llama formed?
Hello?
It's
formed in 1965. Okay.
Well, how did it all come together? The different styles, the masters who formed it, like yourself, since you are the last remaining founder, how did it all come together and get developed?
Okay, I was in Kempo, and then I met Kino de la Sega and the International. I was fighting in the International. I came in first International, and I saw this man, what they call Kino de la Sega. He was a Hawaiian guy. I saw his hands move so beautiful. He never lost, but he never won because his hands are so fast. And I said, you know what? I want those hands. I was like a scout. I'm the type of person that when I see something different, I want it. And you know, I mean, some people learn martial arts, and it feels good, but I'm the type that I can see things that people can't see, and I like these hands. I went up to Tino, and I said, Tino, you know what? I don't know you. You don't know me, but, you know, he used to be Ed Parker's, cousin. And I told him, I said, you know what, I want your hands. Can I work with you? And the guy said, okay, you know, but you know, he had some beautiful hands, but there was no style, okay? So I used to go down San Gabriel to go visit him, and we sit there and practice, and we designed it to be Lima Llama. At that time, I had four schools. I had a lot of students. Then I had another guy named Gayabalo, had a lot of schools. We put the schools together, and I said, you know what? We'll work with you. We'll put up some money. We'll make some patches. We'll create a style that is different, okay? In those days, nobody wore black. Everybody wore white. So we all wore black at that time. We went to International, about eight of us, and, I mean, we got disqualified, believe me. Okay? In those days, people said, man, these guys are killers. We just wanted to make a name. That's all we wanted to make. And that's the way Lima Llama started in 1965. Okay?
Yeah, a lot of the schools wouldn't even let us participate because we had the black uniforms on. So we would wear white uniforms with us, and then we would change into them. But the Lima Llama style was something different, and nobody was used to it, especially with the front hand lead punch instead of using the backhand power punch. So it made them, you can't hit it. You can't hit anybody with the front punch. Then yes, you can. You know, I mean, the power draws from the back, the old Japanese style. I mean, it's traditional, and it was, and Lima Llama was more modern than the traditional style, and it just wasn't allowed in tournaments.
Right. And Lima Llama is a street fight. Lima Llama is a street fight. There's no rules and regulations. But you got to teach martial arts. You got to teach karate. You got to teach people how to fight, but not how to fight. Teach them respect, discipline, and coordination. Okay? But, you know, I'm 79 years old. When I'm in the street, I don't fight. I respect everybody. I'm a nice guy. But if somebody wants to punch me, believe me, I'll plug his eyes out and hit him in the throat. I have no time for boxing, okay? But that's Lima Llama. But you got to remember, Lima Llama is you learn to work it different ways. Respect, discipline, coordination, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. You got to put it to work with how you feel, okay? Any style, all styles are great. I'm not going to sit there and say, my style is best. People tell me, hey, my style is best than yours. Now, you know what? I created a style which they call Chi-Chi Pao Pao. Chi-Chi Pao Pao. You know what Chi-Chi Pao Pao? I'll sit right there with a gun, and I'll go, ching-ching, pow-pow. Okay? And people look at me and say, well, that's a gun. Well, that's the best style. But you really do that. You know what
I mean? Love it.
So remember, ching-ching, pow-pow.
The basic is
about.
That, what it was is that when we start teaching our classes, we teach the basic Kempo system. We start with the Kempo system, medium style. Get their discipline, get their stances, get their blocks, get their movement, get their forms, and then we start progressing more and more as they grow in rank and as they get into like the color belt rank, where we start adding the Lima Llama style. and taking away the Kempo styles, and okay, now we're going to do the Lima Lama style, and the forms and the movements and the techniques, everything starts turning more to a Lima Lama. But yeah, to start in the beginning, no. We do start with a basic Kempo system and keep it like that.
Awesome.
In the heart
now,
forms.
So the Kempo would be like the base for which the Lima Lama
yes.
sits
it,
atop.
In
right?
the Lima Lama system, everybody that has a rank there has started with one system or another. Some started with Taekwondo, some started with Kempo, others have started with different styles of before they went into the Lima Lama system. Mm-hmm. And we just found out that it's just easier to start the kids off with disciplined forms, hard style. Not real hard, but like more like a medium style of forms and techniques and everything. It's called the basics. Once mm-hmm. we start progressing, once they stay with the system, then we start expanding their knowledge by introducing more and more Lima Lama until they understand and they grasp it.
At the same time, you teach weapons, you teach sticks, weapons, lines, and everything. I teach a lot of police officers, and the first thing they want to learn is how to shoot somebody. I say, why? You got a baton. What if you teach baton? Hit them in the hand, hit them in the leg. They don't do that. But I teach batons, Mike teaches sticks. We all teach weapons, but you got to learn when to use it and how to use it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the important thing. All styles is good, but the important thing is how you use it, when you use it, okay?
Right.
I got police officers that I teach, and right away they got an attitude. No, I pull my gun and shoot you. Why? Why don't you hit him with a stick if he has a knife? But that, I can't teach that, okay? I'm just saying,
right?
The art
right
you make with what you make out of this. That's the important thing, okay? The most important thing I tell anybody, you walk in, what do you teach? Respect. You teach self-defense, you don't have to use it. That's the important thing. It's an art. You don't go over there and bang people. Respect. The kids here, they run the folks. I'm sorry. This is the United States. They run the folks. In Mexico, they don't. The kids, the father runs the folks. Here, they run the folks because they're spoiled. They got this, they got this, and they run the folks. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way with me. The most important thing is the foundation. Foundation comes from the father and the mothers. That's what I do. Foundation comes from me, the way I'm going to teach you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want to teach you what you need, not what you want. Okay? But it's an art. Remember, everything is an art. Right?
Very cool. I've been hearing that phrase a lot. That, you know, we should teach the students what they need, not what they want. I've been hearing that a lot, and it's great. I would have never thought about putting it that way, because you're right. You know, in many places, not only in martial arts schools, but, you know, anywhere else, and parents know this, you know, kids think that they can run the show.
You're right.
And they,
it's an art. It's like this ultimate fighting. It's great fight. No problem. I think it's a good business. The guys that are making the money are the promoters. It's a good business. But, you know, half of the guys, they're all messed up. The banks and all the cauliflower ears. It's good. There's no art. It's all street style. That's all it is. But it's all right. That's business, okay? Okay. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was teaching my schools, I had 4 or 5 schools. I had black belts. They're looking good. But I said to myself, wait a minute, I got to make money. I got to teach what they need, not what they want. And that's the name of the game in any kind of a business, you know? It takes time and patience, especially when you've been doing it for almost 5 years. Mike's the same thing. Mike's been around a long time. He knows what it is. The important thing is you walk away from the problem. Don't stand there and fight, okay? First thing you say, what are you doing? You got 5 guys. You know what? I run. I ain't gonna sit there. Okay. I'll let you work with Mike, okay? Because I have a Fabrizio from Mexico, and he's already leaving today, and I gotta say goodbye to him. Okay.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Would you prefer that we mute your mic, or would you prefer to just hang up? Or...
Say it again. Say again. What?
Would you prefer that I?
Are you just gonna say goodbye to Fabrizio and then come back online?
Okay, you want to talk to Fabrizio right now? Can you talk to Fabrizio?
And then you're gonna come back on the phone.
Yes.
Okay.
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 Okay. Don't use Mike.
He's almost 70 years old. You gotta talk a little bit slower.
Oh right.
Of course, I said that because he's not on the phone. Because I mean, if he was, I'm not going to go to class on Tuesday. Okay. But well, I think what he's trying to say is that we teach kind of like steps. The first look is like avoid the fight at all costs. So what if he calls you a name? You know, so what if he tries to shame you? Know, avoid the fight. Just go away. Forget about it. Don't worry about it. If you have to defend yourself because you're with someone, a wife, a girlfriend, a daughter, you know, you're with a family member, and you have no other option, then the first move is to stop your opponent. Just stop him. And, you know,
right,
that's enough.
Right.
Okay, I had enough.
Right.
I don't want to do no more. No, no. The second time is you contain him. Whatever move you click, and you grab him in a lock, or whatever move you were taught, you know, that we teach you, and say, okay, that's enough, I had enough, that's all. If he continues it, then you have to do what you have to do for self-defense to protect
right.
your family. But it's a last resort. You know, if someone yells at you and calls your name, you don't stick your fingers in his eyeballs or kick him somewhere, you know, because
no,
I know
no,
martial
no,
arts stuff.
No,
we don't think
no,
that.
No, you don't do that. You don't do that. I was in Thursdays. It's my hot dog day when I teach classes. And I go down to the hot dog place, Winner Sneezes. I do it because my wife doesn't like me to eat junk. I go in there and buy a hot dog, and there was a guy that saw my T-shirt that says Lima Llama. I said, oh, Lima Llama. Oh, yeah, you know, and I said, you better eat my hot dog. And he said, hey, Lima Llama sucks. I said, okay, well, it sucks. I said, okay, so it sucks. I said, come on, throw me a punch. Show me how good you are. I said, you know, I don't want to fight. I'm too old. You know? So finally, I couldn't take it. The guy said, throw me a punch. He threw a punch. I sidestepped him. I got my hot dog, hit him in the face, and I threw him in the floor. Okay? And he looked at me and said, man, I was only joking. So was I. Well, I didn't eat my hot dog. I went home with no hot dogs, you mean? But I could have hit him. I could have banged him, kick him 4 or 5 times and hurt him. For what? What for? I don't need it. Okay, that's what you have to learn. When you've been at it for so many years, you got to learn when to do it, how to do it, and how to control your temper. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the important thing. Mike knows already the way I am. I did, excuse the word, maybe I shouldn't even say anything. I did 5 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The next 5 years, I did it for a long time for a problem that I had. The important thing is you learn respect and discipline. That's what martial arts is. And Lima Llama teaches you all that. Okay?
Very cool.
Are you all right, Mike?
Yep. And I like to go to, I made friends with Nasifu Bab, who knows who he is, with Defensive Scott, who has a school in Sherman Oaks. He teaches in Sherman Oaks in the park on Sunday. And I got to be very good friends with him. And he goes down to the school in Whittier where we teach, and we trade off. He shows a technique, his style, his way, and then I take the same technique and I show, okay, now we're going to do it Lima Llama way. And then so the students have a variety, have options of how to do a particular technique. But never once we ever say, well, my style is better than his style. Don't do it that way. It's no good like that. You can learn so much from other systems, from other styles. If everybody just had the same attitude that says, you know what, I like to try you. I like to work out with you guys. And it's not to see who's better, but, you know, maybe I can learn something. I learn things from Scott, Sensei Scott, and I've been doing it, like I said, this is 48 years for me. And I still go to South class on Sundays, and I still learn something new. You know, and he learned something new from me, but I learned something more from him. And that's why we became good friends. And through him, I met Sifu Bob, who was gracious enough to induct me into the Martial Art Hall of Fame last year. I will go this year also, Bob, so I have to sign up for that. And it's been great ever since. As a matter of fact, Bob and Sifu and Bob and Scott came down to the class, I think 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, and they both taught. And so all the students, from white to black, got to see three different variations of a similar move. And they got to expand their mind. They got to see it's different. And then they also got to see that there was like, I guess you call it love between the three of us. There
mm-hmm.
was no one that said they were superior or better or this is better the way of doing it. We all showed what we love. And we pass it on to our students because we want the students to be the same way. We don't want them. We do not want them closed-minded, thinking that Lima Llama is the only thing. That's it. Nothing
that's
else
is
better. No,
yeah.
We want them to learn
right.
to expand their mind. We want them to learn to accept something different. To look at it, at least acknowledge it and try it. And to be closed-minded. So we try to work with their mind as well as the system, as well as their body, as well as the techniques. We don't want to close them off and just say, this is it. This is only it. Nothing else is better than this, and this is all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a good time. We really do. Yes, sir.
Hi. Can I help you guys? Okay, now, I have to leave because I got an emergency with Fabricio. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, now I want you to say, thank you, Mike, for letting me talk in the radio. Thank you for letting me express myself, whatever I can do. Okay? I want you to say goodbye to Fabricio, and then we'll wish him a lot of luck for everything we did, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, Grandmaster Richard Nunes just had surgery, and he had his knee replacement. And so he really can't do too much right now. So, you know, even talk on the radio or talk on the phone too much because the medication that he takes kind of makes him slurry and everything. So I'm lucky. I'm glad he lasted this long with us and on the phone.
Yeah.
So you have to, I have to apologize for him. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. That, you know, was really putting a lot of pressure on him to do this radio talk, show.
No, we're just honored that Grandmaster Nunez could join us and that Master Gomez could join us also. So, thank you for joining us. Thank you so much for joining us. And I realize that you have to go. Grandmaster Nunez wants to wish you well and wish you off and say goodbye and stuff like that. But thank you so much for visiting us here on the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show.
Well, it's a nice pleasure and honor. I mean, I'm right here for you guys, and I just wish it is God bless your work, because it's always beautiful to let the families know that it's always up there for their kids, you know, and their teenagers. Very important right now these days, so they can have a discipline and self-control in what they do and how they grow, you know. That's very, very important, because without it, I mean, you lose the track and the kids, you know, they don't know where to go, how to act, or what to do in special dangerous moments, you know?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Wonderful. Thank you for joining us, Master Gomez. Thank you. All right.
Well, my pleasure. Do you want me to answer you any other questions? I mean, everything is fine.
I did have a question for any of you that wishes to answer. Me and Robert, we kind of want to know how the meaning of Lima Lama, Hands of Wisdom, quote unquote, came about, how the name was chosen, what went into choosing the name of this method. So
Lima Lama is very complicated to learn. Lima means pretty much hand. And Lama means wisdom, so they call it the hands of wisdom. So by making so many moves with the wrist and also with the body, I mean, they call it Lima Lama. I mean, one of the grandmasters told us to be all choose that name because he had a saying, all you can do with your hands become Lima Lama, because Lima Lama is an art of self-defense. It's surrounded to different arts. Because in our heart, we believe that an art needs to fit other arts, and other arts needs to fit our art. So that means it's a whole picture of different concepts. So Lima Lama is a structure of different arts, but the main move is the reach of the hand. So that's why they call it Lima Lama.
Oh, okay. Very cool. I've always wanted to know about that, about how the meeting came about. So thank you for answering that. Now, as far as so would you say that Lima Lama is best known for its very powerful hand techniques, or are the techniques of the upper and lower body equally used in Lima Lama?
Lima Lama, you can use the moves as a person they learn the moves. I mean, because Lima Lama goes from different levels. I mean, for beginners, I mean, you will have a hard moves, and then as soon as you keep moving forward in the art, those moves become very soft moves. The softer you get, is the dangerous you become, because I mean, now the hands know what to do. I mean, when your hands, they know what to do, I mean, the technique comes to you, mind, and to your heart and muscle. So, mm-hmm. I mean, pretty much you can make, out of Lima Lama, you can make a very a powerful art to defend yourself, or you can make it a very beautiful art to show, I mean, like artistic artistic ways. Like maybe you can do it with the music, you can show and make a nice demo as a showmanship, or maybe doing those forms. I mean, depends on what you wanted to do. I mean, Lima Lama is what you can create it.
Hmm. Awesome. Very cool. The concept of Lima Lama sounds a lot like, not that I'm comparing it with Jeet Kune Do, but it sounds a lot like the concept behind Jeet Kune Do, in the sense that, you know, that you make it yours in a way, and that it draws from other arts and the concepts of other arts. Would that be safe to say, in a way? Or?
Yes. Well, put it this way, so make it easier to whoever is listening to us. You make Lima Lama, see? The
mm-hmm.
people who train hard, the people who put full time on it, the people who put their heart into it, you know, Lima Lama gives you the moves, but you create Lima Lama. I mean, and there was a saying, and my grandmaster used to tell me this. I mean, the man who believes in his art makes it very dangerous. So that's one
mm-hmm.
of the things is, if you don't believe in what you do, I mean, no matter how hard you work, it's not going to work for you. You need pretty much to believe in what you're learning and what you're doing, so you can make it very special.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, it's looking like we're getting close to the top of the hour. We're going to go ahead and take our second break. So our phone number here, folks, is 347-677-0699. And after this short musical piece, we will continue with our interview. So, again, if you have questions, 347-677-0699. I see that we have a couple people listening to the show on their phones and some people on the chat board. We will be right back in about 4 minutes and 3 seconds, right after this Oldie But Goodie by the Brothers Johnson.
Black.
back. If you're just now tuning in, this is the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show with Restita and Robert. Our phone number here is 347-677-0699. And our special guests tonight are Grandmaster Richard Nunez and Master Mike Rivera. So welcome back, Master Mike and Grandmaster Richard. Is Grandmaster Richard still with us, or did he have to go? I don't remember. I think he's away. Oh, he's still there. We were just wondering you were still there. So
yes.
Awesome. Okay. And Robert, you still there?
I am still here.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's go ahead and try it. And Mike. And Mike's here too.
If I may say something,
sure.
Lima Lama Hands of Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're defined from two words. Lima means five or hand in the Samoan language.
Oh.
And Lama means bright, brilliant, or intelligent. So they put
cool.
the two words together to form Lima Lama, which is the hands of wisdom.
Remember, it's the hands of wisdom, hands of prayer, hands of death, and hands of love. That's what that
very
is,
cool.
okay?
Right. Oh.
So you see
very
how
cool.
it's because... The words have more meanings than just the Polynesian words have more than one meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why they say Lima could be hand or five, and then Lama is bright, brilliant, or intelligent. So you put the two words together, it means hands of wisdom, Lima Lama, and then, you know, interpret from those two words.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual dictionary term of those two words is the hand or five and intelligence, so hands of wisdom.
Yeah. And don't forget, no kaoi means the best and the first.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Lima Lama means, the hand of wisdom, the hand of prayer, the hand of death. And Lima Lama no kaoi means the best and the first. He asks you, are you the best? What are you going to say? You're going to say, yes, I'm the best. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the combination of the best and the first. Okay? That's no kaoi. That's the style what I teach. I'm a master
very
of
cool.
Lima Lama, and I'm a grandmaster of Lima Lama no kaoi. And that's it. You got it?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's
cool.
The same thing. It's Lima Lama is the style from Tina Tadasega, which is I am a master in Lima Lama, and actually I'm going for my eighth degree in a couple more months. I'll be going to eighth degree, and then I'll be a master in no kaoi, which is... just another system that from Lima Lama that continued on where Lima Lama stopped when the Grandmaster passed away. So this it broke away, and they have two branches now: Lima Lama and No Kaoi.
Very cool.
He understands that when a system breaks or the Grandmaster dies, and you know there's I hate to say the word, but there is friction. And, you know, people
mm-hmm.
start going different ways. They start taking sides with, you know, like a divorce, like anything else. You know, and they take the kids or they take the dog or, you know, I take the dog, you have the kids, whatever they want. So Mr. Grandmaster Richard Nunez started the No Kaoi system. It's still Lima Lama. He's still a master of Lima Lama, and he's grandmaster of No Kaoi. We still owe our allegiance to Lima Lama. We still pay respect to the grandmaster who unfortunately passed away, Tina Tadasega. But now we're starting a system that we continue building on.
Uh-huh.
I hope I said that the best way I could. So that's why you see Lima Lama no kaoi. And when we wear our uniforms, we wear our patch of Lima Lama, and we wear the no kaoi patch of Grandmaster Richard Nunez, and the patch of Lima Lama from Tina Tadasega. The students that studied both styles have both patches. And some
awesome.
Students studied only one style, they only have their one patch.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Now, no kaoi, is that from the Hawaiian language or from
that's also
the
Hawaiian
Tahitian?
Word.
Okay.
Kawaii.
Okay, just making sure.
Yes. No kaoi means the best and the first. Remember that now. Okay?
Got it. I have it written down.
Okay.
I just wrote it down.
I think the nerves are kicking in.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, I want to see you Saturday, okay, Mike?
Mike? I'll be there Tuesday.
I'll see you Tuesday, and I'll see you Saturday. And who's this lady that I'm talking to?
Oh, this is Restita.
What's her name?
Restita.
Restita.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very pleasure to talk to you. Okay? And I hope
pleasure.
I get to see you. Okay?
Yes,
well,
sir.
Well, Grandmaster, you met her last year. She was having dinner at the Masters Hall of Fame with all of us.
Oh, she was?
Mm-hmm.
God damn, man. You mean I didn't notice her? Okay. Okay.
I was the lady in the blue. I was the lady in the blue dress sitting next to you.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh, the one that was grabbing my leg, huh? Okay, I know who you are now.
I gotta find that picture.
Okay. Okay. I love you guys. Thank you for having us here. Okay.
Thank you, Grandmaster.
Thank you
for joining us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye bye now.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
It's funny to see some guys have come up to me over the years and said, I want to learn how to fight. My simple answer is, get married.
I hope the studio board doesn't start getting blown up by, like, martial artist wives. Oh, gosh. All right. I was going to ask something about, I'm, like, looking for... Me and Robert had, like, some initial notes as to some stuff that we wanted to ask, and I lost the notes. So here we go. When Grandmaster Nunez was explaining the meaning of no ka oi, Robert, what was the question that you – do you want to ask a question? Like, I can't find it now. I was just trying to stall for time while I was trying to pull up the webpage.
Usually we're so organized, Matt.
Usually we are, but boy, you know, like Sifu Bob had just ran in while I was calling him, and I literally ran in and set up the board because we, you know, normally I have the board set up an hour before and I'm good to go, but I've just set everything up and, you know, flying by the seat of my pants for the first part of the show.
So,
oh,
Matt,
I found it.
Mike.
Okay.
I found it.
I found it, but go ahead.
Master Mike. I read that Lima Lama uses Polynesian dance technique. Now, tell us what role those dance moves play. Are they strictly in the footwork? Do you use the upper body, the hands? Tell us about the Polynesian dance technique.
You mean everything is, well, we use, you know, if I was to say, compare it, I would compare it with, you're right, with Jeet Kune Do or Wing Chun. We use a lot of upper body movements, but it's also torquing of the body. We have low kicks.
Okay.
We don't believe in high kicks. All our kicks are knees, shins, insteps. We hook the back of the leg, groin level kicks, as you would. We do not go high. The torquing of the body is the one that gives us our power. Usually, if I have to say, we usually use 25%. We like to contain our opponent. We like to, like, smother them. So when they throw their movement, we're actually stepping into their punch, stepping into their movement. We contain it with 25% power, so we keep them there. Instead of punching them so hard that they go flying across the street, or we punch them so hard that we miss and we stand there looking at them while they beat us to death, what we do is we control our point. We control our move. We're specialized. Well, they're not specialized, but with movements that we have that keep our component contained. You know, we drop them in the stomach so they drop down, and then we grab them so they cannot get back up again. Or, you know, we contain them first. That's the secret. Contain your opponent first. Then, if you have to, hurt your opponent or stop your opponent. But that's the whole idea. We can contain them by smothering them. They do a move, they throw out with a wild hook. We come in with our own wild hook. Only it's not a hook, it's more of a grab or more of a takedown or more of a ridge hand. Instead of hitting the throat, we hit the shoulder. You know, we'd stay away from the parts that will really do damage and hit them in the shoulder or underneath the armpit. That'll drop them down, but not really hurt them other than stun them. And then if they insist on continuing, well, then we have no choice but to do a more aggressive move. But as I say, everything is they always say hands of wisdom. And though, yes, our hands are 90% of our thing, our feet get us there, and we like to torque or turn into the movement. So I hope that answered your question correctly.
You know, I have this steadfast rule since say that the only time I kick somebody in the head is when they're on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only
time.
It's a good
rule. That's a good rule.
Sifu, you had an additional question to ask on top of Paulie's and that.
Yeah, because I had also kind of, I might have read the same thing, Sifu Bob, that I had read somewhere, and I forgot where, that Lima Lama kind of uses the influence of Polynesian dance, what Westerners would know as hula, or as far as the ancient warrior traditions, hula kahiko, the ancient hula, you know, where it's not, you know, so much the Don Ho, you know, touristy type of hula, but the ancient hula. And I also read that a lot of the Polynesian warrior traditions, well, specifically dance, were steeped into the art for its swaying tactics and footwork and shifting and stuff. But, you know, I don't know anything about Lima Lama, so that's why Sifu Robert and I were asking whether or not Polynesian dance played a role in Lima Lama at all. Looks like Mike Rivera's call dropped. Bob, you still there?
I'm still here.
Huh, that's weird. All of a sudden, well, let's try calling him back. His call dropped about 2 minutes ago. Not 2 minutes ago, a minute ago. I was wondering why it got so quiet. Let's see what happens here. Okay, let's try the live call. Dialing. Here we go.
I now want to go to voicemail.
I'm so sorry, that was my fault. I hit the wrong button and set it off. I was trying to call you back and oh no, I did it again.
Oh no problems. I was just wondering why it got so quiet. I was like, because normally.
Me too. Okay, hello, what happened? You're there? Oh no, I did it again.
Yeah, on your line, I can hear that you're on the line, and then all of a sudden that noise, you know, cut out, and I'm like, uh-oh, he's gone. But I think what I was saying before you left was that I had read something online also, like Sifu Bob did, that Polynesian dance played a role in Lima Lama as far as its footwork and evasion tactics and stuff like that. But I don't know anything about Lima Lama, so that's, you know, that's why we were asking, you know, if indeed Polynesian dance or hula or
the thing was, Lima Lama was kind of like a secret thing, a secret, mm-hmm. like, and it was passed from father to son, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only taught to Polynesian royalty.
Oh, okay.
See, that was the whole idea in the Polynesian Islands. Now, mm-hmm. when it did start, they really, Lima Lama, further history, Lima Lama got his break by being the bodyguards of King Kamehameha I in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And that's where they started growing and expanding. And then, of course, Tino Todesega, whose father was the original grandmaster, was the grandmaster and was passed down to Tino Todesega, who was who came to the States and passed on the system to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he took the hand that they call the hand of wisdom Lima, which was the original, the hand of the signifies Tino Todesega, Richard Nunes, Tain Lafifi, Sal Escobal, and Sal Caraballo. Those were the originators that started the system.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And they continue to, and then they continue to expand. Well, they've all unfortunately all passed away, except for Sal Caraballo, who is teaching the art of Lua, which is one of the 13 styles of Lima Lama, which is the art of bone breaking. And Richard Nunes, who is still with the North Hawaii system, but still teaching the Lima Lama way.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it's really in the States, it hasn't been that long. It started 65, so it's, you know, it's really not, what, 50 years maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit longer than that. That has really been, started to grow. And of course, it was banned for a while because, like I said, we wore black uniforms. And the thing about Tino Todesega was that he was a Marine Corps boxer.
Mm-hmm.
And he took a lot of his father's moves out. and put boxing moves. So we have hooks, we have uppercuts, we have front jabs, which rely on the front jabs and the backhand like anybody. So we do have the boxing moves, and that's the part that Mr. Grandmaster Janinas loved when he started seeing Lima Nama and the first time with to the Sega showing it. You know, he said, nah, he's boxing moves, but with martial arts flair and quick speed that got him the love of the system. I got the love of the system. The hands and everything was good, but I'm so used to starting with Okinawan Kempo, and I could not move. It's a whole body function, and I could only move from my waist up. I could move it from my waist down. I was like paralyzed. I just could not grasp the situation of short instep moves and short kicks and not, you know, the regular style of martial arts that everybody learned in those days. So that's why he used to take me dancing, and we used to go to Crescendos, and we used to go to this 5 Point and Manuovi, and Armani, and it was country western music, and he used to teach me the two-step and things like that so I could understand the movements of how to do it. So it was a big, we've been together almost 40 years now, so it's been a long time.
Cool. I'm just curious, Sensei, who let?
Jimmy?
When you were learning to dance, who let? You or grandmaster?
But, well, when he leaves?
Never mind. I try to lead that into a joke, but that just
didn't. You mean if I have accidentally back up and run him over twice, will I take over the system? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Well, I do want to put a real quick shout out to Wes Bennett. He almost blacked out last night, almost had to go to the hospital. Canceled class. As a friend of the show, my best wishes and my thoughts go out to him.
Yeah, Brother Wes. I hope you feel better soon. Yeah. I hope he doesn't, you know, because that's kind of how I started. I like almost passed out during class because I just all of a sudden like tired, and it just turned out to be that ugly, nasty, antibiotic needing illness that I had, and it took me out for like 2 weeks. And I hope he doesn't have that. And whatever it is, it's going around. I mean, my students are getting it one by one. I think I gave it to.
Is it like a flu or a virus or what is it?
He didn't know.
Yeah, we didn't know. I mean, it felt like the flu. I mean, it was like all of a sudden I got like the chills. And then I know we're going off subject, but our listeners know we do that a lot. But I got the chills. And then I tried to class and I just couldn't do it. I started getting dizzy and then hot and lightheaded. And I'm like, I got to go. And then went home and woke up in the middle of the night with a fever and shivering and sore throat. And then when I woke up in the morning, my throat was like swollen and I couldn't breathe and I still had a fever and I felt like crap. I had to cancel class for a week.
Well, you sound great now. Is it all gone?
I still have the remnants of it. I'm still coughing up stuff, but I can breathe now and the swelling in my throat has gone down. I don't have a fever anymore. It's been 2 weeks since I've recovered a little bit. I had to have antibiotics for it, but I'm still coughing up stuff. so it's, but thank goodness, no more fever. So so anyway, brother Wes Bennett, we hope you feel better soon because, we don't want that bug going around. It needs to stop.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. I was going to ask about something else. Speaking of arts that have their origins in Hawaii, in the Polynesian countries. Now, if people were to ask you, and I'm sure, you guys probably had people asking you, what is the difference between, let's say, Lima Lama, that originated in the Polynesian islands, and Kajikembo, which also originated in the Polynesian islands? Do people get you guys confused a lot? Like, oh, wait, they're Kajikembo. No, they're Lima Lama. Or, Kajikembo wears black, too. So it's like, I don't know.
I guess it all has to do with their background because the Kajikembo people that I've met and I've known, I get, they have like a strong Japanese background. No, again, that's my interpretation. That's you know, and I've seen the style, and I've seen how they move and everything, and you know, I didn't even know Kaji Kempo people, you know, but like I said, it's like it's their particular the way they do things, you know, it's different. Mm-hmm. I cannot.
Well, I guess really... I guess I'm talking in terms of like maybe I don't know fighting concept maybe as opposed to how classes are taught.
Actually,
or...
the fighting concept and even the weapons concept are very similar to ours.
Oh,
cool. The techniques and the forms are different naturally, and the foundation is different. I think ours is I would say they have a I don't know a harder fluence. The higher fluence you know, we have, it's really I don't know. I really cannot tell you. People say, "Oh, you're Kaji, you're from Hawaii. So you're Kaji Kempo." I said, "Yeah," and Kaji Kempo is the same thing as Lima Lama. No, they're saying, "Oh, you're Okinawan Kempo, and the other one is what's the other Kempo style?" You know, I mean, there's different types of Kempo, there's different types of Kaji. I don't know.
I don't want to
step on anybody's toes. I don't want to say anything. You know, I, the impression that I get from when I see them, they got a Japanese background. They got like the stances and their movements kind of reminds me of a Japanese style. You know, like that. And then when people see Lima Lama, they say, "Oh, it's really like Kung Fu or Wing Chun." You know, mm-hmm. They say that to us too. They say, "Well, we're not really coming." Oh, you got Jeet Kune Do. So they say that. So everybody has their own. Interpretation of our system. Like we have a different interpretation of their system, but it's still we still get together. We still exchange notes. We still say how we do things. You know, let's do it like this or let's do it like that. And we still explore different avenues. You know, but
very
we never
cool.
really step on each other's toes, or say which is you know. One
yeah.
is more better than the other.
Well, that's good because you know I don't know what the difference was either because you know like Kaji Kempo players wear black also and I can see why some mainlanders might say you must be Kaji Kempo you're from Hawaii or no we're Lima Lama you know what I mean you know it's
because Lima Lama started in the Polynesian Islands
mm-hmm.
Well, Kaji Kempo's home is Hawaii. And we went from the Hawaii from the Polynesian Islands to Hawaii, and introduced mm-hmm. Lima Lama. And when Kaji Kempo was there, and then we both, you know, they both went to the States. So we expanded our system.
Mm-hmm.
But like that. But I don't know. I think if I would have hit Kaji Kempo first instead of Lima Lama, I would probably have stayed with Kaji Kempo. That's the thing
mm-hmm.
I like about that. It's just I was just fortunate enough that when I came to California and I started with the Lima Lama with the Lima Lama system, it was only because my brother was learning Lima Lama, and
mm-hmm.
he's from Goju-Ryu, which is from New York City, and he came and he started taking Lima Lama, and I was trying to find an Okinawan school to continue my studies, but there was no Okinawan school here in California that was Okinawan Kempo. It was a mixture, a combination, Okinawan Thai. And at that time, I wasn't bright enough or didn't realize that, you know, I expand my horizon. I just wanted to keep it the same way. I didn't want to change it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't find it, and my brother showed me Lima Lama. You know, and I've been with Lima Lama ever since. My buddy would have showed me Kaji Kempo, which I saw later on. I would have went to that one first and not gone to Lima Lama. So it's they're both similar. They're both in styles. I just think it's the background that it starts like that because Lima Lama. If you look at if you look online, they have what they call a tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Kempo tree. And this William K.S. Chow,
mm-hmm,
who was Chinese Kara, and he was the one that taught Ed Parker's Kempo and taught got and taught the student that started Ed Park, who started his campus system, and taught another student that I'm afraid I can't even pronounce his name, who started the Kaji campus system.
Oh,
And so these from this one person that learned and taught Ed Parker and taught Kaji. Ed Parker went to the Kempo system, while this other person went with the Kaji. Well, he changed the Kaji Kempo system, and he has a big tree himself.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, they're both similar in styles. I've seen both their styles. I mean, and I think that would be my second best choice if I ever wanted to go anywhere, but I'm just too old not to do it. But it would be to go to, if I had the knowledge that I have now, I would have gone to Kaji Kempo next.
Well, it's interesting to hear that the lineage through, you know, William K.S. Chow, you know, branched out, you know, to Parker's Kempo and like came down through and had influence into Lima Lama as well as Kaji Kempo. It's kind of a it's interesting actually to see the how the family trees kind of like, you know, meet up at the top. You know,
well,
it's interesting.
There were two people, Kochi Wu Kempo and the Shaolin Kung Fu masters taught William S. Chow.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find this online, and then William S. Chow in turn expanded his system by teaching Ed Parker the Kempo, this other person the Gaji Kempo, another person Kenjutsu, and another person Kaho Tempo, which I'm very bad at pronouncing names actually. I just call my kids sweetheart because I don't know how I can't pronounce her name. Her name is Tina. So, you know, my name is, you know, I cannot pronounce names. But he taught these three people, and look, they just expanded. Everybody knows that Parker and Kaji Kempo just went crazy. They just went all over the tree and were just expanding there. The system that was learned by a Shaolin monk and a Kochi Wu Kempo person.
Yeah.
And it just went on and it just went on. My daughter just came home with my birthday present, a coffee maker. Thank you, dear.
Aw. Time to make some coffee.
I know. I need it very badly. But, yeah, so that's how it is. The Lima Lama system, so when Grandmaster Pinatoda Sega started the system, and he took these five people, these five Kempo, all Ed Parker's Kempo teacher, and started training him in Lima Lama and started it. He broke it down into 13 basic foundations that we still do today, you know, and we still pass it down to our students also at the same time. And Mr. Nunes, he still does, Grandma still does the same thing. What he cannot do because of his age and because of his disability right now, I'm the one that's doing it for him, you know, just doing the moves. I'm kind of like a stand-in or his stunt double. The guy throws a punch, then he says, okay, stop, and then I get out, and he gets it and does the move. You know, so I'm his stunt double right now until he can get better. So we do that, you know. Is there anything else? I start babbling, and then I don't know what to say anymore. Keisha Bob can tell you that. Something else. Shut up, Mike.
Maybe we shouldn't make you any coffee.
No, you know what's funny, Sensei? You know, you're talking, making coffee right now. Usually after I'm done talking, the seafood rusty. I need a drink.
I know. So sometimes after, like, you know, really fun shows and stuff like that, I want to go out and go out and smoke or something. Oh, gosh. Oh, man. So, listeners, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. We're currently talking to Master Michael Rivera of the Lima Lama System. If you have any questions for Master Mike, give us a call, 347-677-0699. All right. Now, Master Mike, you had started.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
boy.
Coffee. Maybe, okay, give him coffee. He just turned me into a dude. like you just noticed, Master Mike, I hope you noticed, that we love to have fun on this show. You know, and I'm going to, like, go off subject here for a little bit because, you know, a lot of times very, very serious martial artists who might listen to our show might think or might get the wrong idea and might think that, you know, me and Sifu Bomb are being disrespectful or whatever because we're laughing, you know, with the masters or whatever and joking around. And I just want to let listeners know that by all means, you know, yes, we're having fun, but we do respect all of our guests and give the respect that is due to masters and grandmasters. And that will never change because, you know, me and Sifu Bob are martial artists first and foremost that happen to like to have fun. So, you know, I just want to make sure all the listeners know that. So,
it's all about interpretation.
Yeah, it's all about interpretation. Because, well, we haven't had anybody yet call in and go, wow, you guys suck. You guys, like, have too much fun. You guys should have a serious show or something. Well,
it's really hard to talk about another style, especially if the grandmaster or even someone from that style is listening, because then they'll get the wrong, they interpret it wrong. See, like I tell everybody, Lin Lam is all about interpretation. Okay, everybody is going to interpret it different. Everybody is not going to do it the same way. I think this way, the Tina to the Sega, the grandmaster started the system, and the way we do it now, he said, what the hell is that? That's not, I never tell you that stuff. Because Tina to the Sega was 6 foot two, 285 pounds. He was like a locomotive. And he would go right through you. And Richard Nunes was really like 4 foot 11, 100 pounds. not really that small, but Richard Nunes was like 130 pounds, and he's like 5'7", I believe. And he could not just run into the grain. No, he could not. He learned to circle around an attack. And that's what we started, and that's what he taught me to circle around, because when I was learning, also from Tino Tarasega, he attacked me, and I was like running into a wall. And even when he blocked, my hand was bruised for days, because he's such a strong, powerful man. And, you know, he's like, go around him. And I was scared to because he's going to hit me. No, I'm here to take my punishment. You're higher ranked than me. You go around him. He's not going to get mad at you. He's going to get mad at me. I'm too low of a rank right now to worry about things like that. But then, like I said, after everything happened, he started teaching me to circle around an opponent, get behind an opponent. And then when I started teaching the police department, I started teaching the police department because I did something very stupid that got me community service, and because of my martial art background, my community service ended up being teaching the police department martial arts. Mm-hmm. At the same time, they taught me the law. You know, I mean, the law right now is, I mean, if you can stop somebody from hurting you, and that's self-defense. But if you, after you stop somebody, you commence to, you know, destroy him, then all of a sudden, you know, it's battery, it's assault, it's on you then. You know, and that's what happened to me. Someone tried to rob me, and I stopped him, which was great, but then it commenced to, like, I mean, I was pounding on him, and the cops came and took me away from the guy. I was still pounding on him, so I got arrested, and things happened, and then this is, you know, and the judge told me, and so I learned the law, you know, what to do. So, and that, I turned that around and started teaching it to my students. That's where we got, you know, first, you walk away. Second, if you have to, you know, you stop them. Third time, you contain them. And if you have to, the fourth time, because there's no other, that's it. Then, you know, you hurt them so it doesn't hurt you or your family members. Like that.
Awesome.
But like I said, a lot of my students, they tell me, well I teach it's called the torture circle, where five people attack you one at a time, and you do no more than three moves. Now, that's not to show how bad I am, but that's to show a fluency in the moves, and quickly dispatch the person and go to the next person. Now, don't waste time for 25 minutes on one person when there's four more. I would never do that in real life. No. I would have five guys, I'm going to run as fast as I could. And if I, you know, if I, then I get in my car and run him over or something like that. But I'm not going to fight five guys, even though I teach it that way. but it's just to say this, the fluency of the movement, going on to the next opponent and not wasting time or continuing beating on someone when it's not really necessary. You stop them already. I see stop. The guy does something, you stop him, dude, he's down. Next person, you stop him, he's down. Next person, you stop him. Like that. So you teach the fluency of the moves. Always impressing, always telling them, never hurt your opponent on the first strike just because he called you a dirty name or you cut him off or you took his pocket space or he took yours. Just let it go. Life is too short for that.
Mm-hmm.
To fight, you know, to fight with someone like that.
Right. Agreed. Well, it looks like we have a caller. We have someone calling from area code 818 571. Hello, you're on the Dynamic Dojo.
Yeah. Hi, Aristida. This is Patrick. You may remember me, Kang Swan Do, the park.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Patrick.
Yeah.
How are you?
I know you.
Yeah. I know you too, Bob.
How I know your voice. I'm like, I know that voice.
Very cool.
Yeah, we all have out there. We've been very fortunate in having Bob come by on a regular basis. And certainly Mike, and when he comes out, it's... It's always, you know, I got pieces of your program before. It was very hard to get through, to get it going on my computer. But so some of you may have covered some of it. But, you know, it is a give and a take process when we're all together. And it's mm-hmm. it's an evolving thing. So when we get together, it's like, it's pretty smooth. And today it was really smooth, you know, Bob and myself working with the students out there. You know, it was we would add this and we would tweak this, and it wasn't we didn't set things in stone, and that's kind of how we operate. Well, I want to say I really appreciate Mike. You know, when he shows up, you know, he was in a tournament last year or something, and you know, he's like probably a little bit over 40, so it, you know, to actually get. Yeah, so actually.
Oh, you're over 40. I was sick. I was 65 at that time. 20-year-old kid.
So I looked at him. I said, "Are you crazy, man? I wouldn't do that in a million years." You know, I'm you know, a little bit over 40 myself, and you know, so I was very much impressed. You know, it's like, and that sort of leads into the. You know, to the factor of, you know, these two styles, Kang Swan Do, Liam Malama, you know, above and beyond, you know, particular techniques, it's the attitude that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
These guys come from, you know, especially the guys that created these styles, they come from a very interesting background that has been associated with the law. And sometimes in a positive fashion, and sometimes somewhat negative fashion. So the real world is what they know. So when they're teaching, you know, because in so many situations, so many dojos, they do a good job. But many of these people have never been out there. They've never had to deal with somebody that really was out to, you know, deprive them of their life. So mm-hmm. not having that experience. Sometimes they teach things that yeah, they look good and they're fine, but, you know, in fact, they're not really valid. They don't really work. And I think the people that I'm associated with and definitely Mike, definitely Bob, it's real world stuff. And that's you know, that's my two cents worth there.
See, this is why I really enjoy so much going to Sherman Oaks, and I live in Azusa. It's like a 45-minute drive to go over there, and I don't care about the drive. I don't even really care about the gasoline because these people are dedicated. These people are warm. They're very friendly. They accepted me. They accepted my teaching, my style. I've never overstepped my boundaries. I only go there when I'm invited or I call them up and ask permission to come down, and they're always very grateful. They say, "You come down whenever you want." But still, I don't want to like overstep my boundaries. They always give me a warm welcome, and when I ask them to come down to my school on Saturdays to you know to work out with us, Mike, the grandmaster, is another. That's the same thing to them. You know, we treat them with respect. We treat them with warmth. We treat them like family,
and we always welcome their techniques and then their ideas, and we have a good 3-hour workout, and then we all get together after that and we go somewhere and have a couple of drinks or have something to eat and talk about it and joke around and laugh, and then we all go home. But it's a great place. If there are any more schools would do that, I think it would be a lot friendlier community. You know, mm-hmm. that's the thing I'm trying to do. There would be a lot better community if more styles would get together instead of being so close-minded. Get together and share their ideas and share their thoughts and share. You know, and we go with another school that teaches a knife fighting. I love that guy. He was terrific. And I went there one Sunday. I went there with him to do a knife fighting class. And
you're
showed,
talking about Billy Burke?
Yes, yes. And we went over and oh my God, yes. I just love the guy, it was real funny. We're gonna have a knife fighting class. He comes out and with real knives and bayonets, you know. Got it really scared. Well, yeah, we have a knife fighting class. We never had a knife fighting class before in your life. We all did. He threw real knives and bayonets on the floor. Okay, now pick a knife weapon. You know what I'm saying? That scared the hell out of us. But you know, he was warm, and we had rubber knives naturally. And we studied, and we worked out. And again, you know, when he says something, we listen to him. And there's no joking around. There's no talking. Respect. And we did our techniques. When I go to their class and I see something, and they, you know, they all listen to me and show respect and to what I'm saying. And when he comes to our class, you know, again a different style, we do the same thing. We listen to him. We show respect, and we do it how he wants us to do it. You know, so it's. We're growing the community, you know. It's great to be with these people. It really is.
Mm-hmm. So. Indeed. Awesome.
Well, it was really funny last year when Cecil Garcia came down and spent a few days with me. I think halfway during the week, through the week, I said, oh, by the way, Rusty, you're teaching this Sunday, okay? And she said, fine. Didn't even bat an eye. I just grabbed her and pulled her in. By the way, Cecil, remember the tournament I said that I got drug into?
Right.
That was a tournament, same tournament that Grandmaster Richard was mentioning. It won't be there in July.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you guys went last year, and you had Frank, who was a green belt, participate, and he was, and as a matter of fact, he won first place in Brown Belt Division, did he not?
He did.
I think it was.
He did.
Yes, he did. He won first tournament. First place, fighting Lumi Lama people, because they were surprised at, you know, they were surprised at how he was just, he's just relentless. I mean, he just knew what to do, and he just took out all those. It was a Lumi Lama tournament that was an open tournament. I invited them all to come down. As a matter of fact, when Bob wasn't looking, I put him in the ring and have him working also. But says it's God, they both put him to work teaching, wrestling and judging. And then Frank won, and first tournament he ever been in, came home in first place, beat all the Lima Lama students. And they all kept wondering, who is this guy? What school is that? How come he did that? You know, and then I told some of the people that, you know, it's the school that I go to every once in a while to teach, and, you know, we affiliate them, which, you know. So it surprised them. It was really good. We're having this the same place again, I think this year also.
And that's in, I forgot where it was. Norwalk?
Norwalk is in Norwalk. The DoubleTree, they have it in a hotel. It's a DoubleTree hotel. And
okay.
It's nice carpeting on the ground, and it's this nice thing. And we have demonstrations, and we have schools from all over Mexico. Even Australia comes down. But mostly it's all of Mexico. Supposedly, the last known fact was there's like 25,000 Lima Lama schools all of Mexico. Lima or Lama. The Lima this, a Lama that, but or Lightning Lama. But they've all had special. It was real big. When I first was at Okinawan Kempo, we used to go to Mexico to fight. And I thought Lima Lama was a Mexican style because it was so big in Mexico. I never knew it was a Polynesian style. I thought it was Lima Lama must be really big because it's all in Mexico. And over there, when they fight, there's no equipment. You just put hand wraps on and you wrap your feet if you want to, and you go for it. It was a different, and they're still doing that today over there. It's not allowed here. Over here, you're like a walking robot with all the stuff that you got on that now to complete these bars. But we have forms. We have the forms to music, weapons to music, We have regular forms, regular weapons, and then we have the competition, the sparring competitions, handicap division for the kids, and then and old people division like for me and things like that. So it's all around. It's a big thing that we give once a year for everybody. Then we open it up.
Very cool. Very cool. And I didn't write down the date. I wrote where it was, and the date was, again, I'm sorry. What's the date again for the tournament?
You still there?
Yeah. Master Mike, what's the date of the tournament again?
I don't know.
Oh, I guess I can look it up.
I mean, I just found out today when he mentioned it. That's how much I listen.
Nice.
Awesome. I'm using old age as an excuse. I don't remember everything. I don't know. I don't know. It's you know what? I have it hidden in my car, and I'm not going to run and get it right now. Because I got some flyers to give Sensei Scott and Bob when they come down again. I was supposed to come down today to give them the flyers with some information on Lima Lama and all that, and then I just could not get out of bed at all this morning.
Oh, I hear you. I couldn't either. Well, we only have about not even 10 minutes left in our live stream. So our listeners would know, if anyone's interested in learning Lima Lama or would like more information from you or Grandmaster Nunez, how can we get a hold of you guys? So how can we get a hold of you, Master Mike?
Well, you can go online,
okay,
and look up Black Mat.
Okay.
It's called Black Mat, the word black and the mat, and that's the organization that we teach out of. It's a MAA type school that the instructor there is one of our black belts, mm-hmm. and he's added MAA to his system, so he took over the school, so he teaches MAA. Mm-hmm. And one teaches MAA, and he teaches Lima Lama moves. So one works on the feet and the hand, and he works on the handwork. We combined it together. So mm-hmm. and he would invite Grandmaster to teach there, and I ended up there. We're just teaching there from now on. We just have our own classes on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. But mm-hmm. it is Black Mat, and it's in Whittier, California.
Okay.
And if I can just put down the phone for a second. I can get you the address. I'm just going to put it on the phone.
I found them. Black Mat MMA.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's blackmatmma.org. And
right.
I'm clicking the link right now, and it's taking forever to take me there. But it's blackmatmma.org in Whittier, California. And so if anyone's interested in it says the web page isn't available. So if anyone's interested in learning it, go ahead and go to blackmatmma.org.
In Whittier, California, and it's
California. Very cool. And Master Mike, do you currently have a class, or are you teaching?
Yes, I do. We teach Tuesdays and Thursdays. We teach tradition. We teach the requirements that you need for your progressing of your rank. Saturday mm-hmm. is an open class where we ask guests to come down, like the other school, the Sherman Oaks. We ask them to come down, and another school, and we ask Bob to come down one time. If he was showing but he's supposed to come back down again to show sticks, weapons. Even though we
That's
have
cool.
our own sticks, we like to see other people's, their version of their sticks. You know, we have to see that too. Like I said, I don't mm-hmm. want them closed-minded one way. So mm-hmm. if Bob's supposed to be coming down, we'll get a chance, and then he's going to show them the sticks. And then Sensei Scott's going to come down and show them some more takedown techniques or some more grabbing techniques. And so we have an open class for about 3 hours. We usually start from 1 to 4, or 1:30 to 3:30, around there. It all depends how we're – and it's just constant workout. And that's the mm-hmm. class that I teach, mostly hand techniques, takedown techniques. Like it says, Lima Lama is broken down into 13 different variations of 13 basic basic foundation, and you know, and they all have Hawaiian names, but it's bone breaking, takedowns, knife fighting, pressure points, nerves, grabbing, trapping, all different types. So we try to show them all to the students, mostly black belts, mostly white belts. Whoever shows up is always welcome. We don't worry about rank. you know, we realize that the lower ranks might have a little problem, but, you know, we always work with them, and we always rotate, so they get the knowledge of everybody. One minute they're working with a white belt, the next minute they're working with a yellow belt, the next minute they're working with a green belt. A black belt's working with a white belt or a yellow belt or a green belt. Teach the black belt to kind of, like, slow down and make them teach the student how to do it, you know, how like that. So everybody gets around, they teach, they learn, and we work out, and we have a good time.
Very
and
cool.
And we do that every Saturday from between 1 and 4.
Every Saturday, 1 and 4. Very cool. Is that is it at a particular location or?
It's in Whittier. It's Black Mat.
Oh, it's at Black Mat. Oh, okay. I thought
it's at Black Mat, right.
Okay.
Because Tuesdays and Thursdays, we teach the requirements. Saturdays, my class, and I teach, and we do that. And Mr. Nunes, he comes in and he shows us, you know, his years of experience. He shows us some moves or a new form that we're working on. So we kind of like dancing. That's one of the foundations. The Warrior's traditional dance, and he teaches us the Warrior dance that they used to do.
And
make it into a form. So, you know, it just gives them an idea. It gets them, you know, it's more than just kicking, punching, and stabbing, and eye-poking, and biting. They learn how to dance. They learn how
Very
to move.
Cool. Very cool. So you get the culture also, the Polynesian culture.
Yes,
that
they
is
get
so
the culture
awesome.
Without going too much into the religion. Or we try to keep religion out of it, and we try to keep so they learn the culture of the system. That's all. Learn the culture, learn where it came from, learn a little bit about the history, but the religion part and everything, that belongs for yourself.
Very cool.
It doesn't belong there.
Awesome.
Hey, just like it says, a form of martial arts.
Now, a lot of the arts, including like Kang Swando, they also require a learning of the history, the lineage, the grandmasters, founders, and so forth. Do you also include that in your testing requirements as well?
Yes, we do. One of the biggest requirements that they have when they're going from the white belt to black belt is to at least know the history, know the founder, know where they came from, know when they started. The years are not that important, but know who started the system, where it came from, how it got started. That's important that they don't know so they can pass it on to their students. If they teach, they can pass it on to their students. If someone answers them a question, they can pass it on to their students. You know, I mean, I've been there as long as I've been there, I still know maybe I get the names wrong, and I apologize, and but I do get the systems right, who taught to William Chow, and who William Chow taught from Ed Parker, and then Ed Parker, and who are the people that study with him. And, you know, so I know it, and they have to know it. And, last year I competed in a tournament, and I was 68 years old. And, and I fought. But, again, it was a lesson to my students, because if I can do it, you can do it. And if I lose gracefully, you lose gracefully. If you see me getting upset, yelling and screaming and cursing and saying it's bad calling, if I don't do it, you don't do it. Learn to have respect. Learn to expect it. Things are not always going to go your way. You're not always going to win. So don't think that you're better than anybody else. Learn that.
Right. Very cool. Awesome. I hear a dog.
Oh,
a dog?
Oh, I can hear a dog. Well, unfortunately, we're getting really close to time here. Did you have any last comments there, Bob?
Well, see, the one thing about their tournament, I've gone to a lot of tournaments, and there were always in the judges' face, there were always the parents and other judges. Never.
What is that?
I have no idea.
Nobody's challenged the call. It was just the most gracious. And Eric Lee was there, Alfred Kiedis. Nobody ever said that.
That's
call wasn't
cool.
Good.
That's cool. Because, like, you know,
cool.
I've been to tournaments where, you know, yeah, parents will get in the judges' faces and demand arbitration right then and there on, you know, and they're arguing about their kids. You know, I mean, come on, they're kids. you know.
Yeah, I know, because exactly. They look to like we're family, and they look to us like
exactly.
They look to the parents. And for us to be that way, that's not showing the students. That's not showing the students anything. Anyway, if you can do it, I can do it. Well, if they can do it, why can't I do it, you know?
Exactly.
They're not doing what they say as they do it. So they look at us. So, you know, sometimes we have problems. Our tenements have, you know, when they need the arbitration, you know what we do? We say, you know what? Here, you got first and you got first. Now you're both happy. Okay? There's
mm-hmm.
no difference. Okay, you got second, you got second. Okay, you're both happy. You both get your trophy. There's no reason to continue this any further. No use to say who's better than the other person. You both won. Let it go at that, you know? Be
right.
satisfied with it.
See,
yeah.
Somebody just told me they're sitting on hold.
Oh, okay. Oh, there they are. Okay, they hung up earlier. Area code 951. Welcome to the Dynamic Dojo. How are you?
It's Dan. How are you? I'm doing great.
Hey, hi there.
Oh, good to be here. Good,
yeah, I
good.
Saw you earlier, and I was like, oh, he hung up. Who was that?
Who was that masked man? I just wanted to say what a great show. Unfortunately, I'm at work and had to bust out of it a couple times, and I was back and forth, but I'm in between calls right now, so I thought I'd call and say hello and tell Master Mike that it was good to hear him again.
Thank you, sir.
Very cool.
Can I have your name, sir?
I'm sorry?
Couldn't have your name, sir. I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
Oh, it's Dan Heck from the Masters Hall of Fame.
Oh, it's nice to meet you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yay.
Did you like FIBA? Did you like what you hear? Was there something that you
what I really liked was the attribute you were talking about of the warrior culture and how you teach the not so much the religion but more of the warrior culture. And I think that's
mm-hmm.
you know, that is the uniting front we can have all martial arts from all styles can agree on is the warrior culture. Is passed on through our students and through every generation of martial artists. So I was really happy to hear that, and I know a little bit about Lima Lama anyway. It was just nice to hear it from the founding members. That was a focus.
So you are always welcome to come down on a Saturday to participate in the class, to teach a class, or just to come down and talk to the class. I always
well,
welcome guests to come down. And I'm sorry. Oh, no problem. And really think about it. And just it can get a hold of you can look it up. Like it says online. I'm sorry I don't have all that information. But
yeah,
Black Knight and Whittier.
You know what I would
and
like?
Then just,
you know what I'd really like? Is to have you guys do a seminar at the Masters Hall of Fame this year.
That would
Lima
be
Lama
awesome.
Seminar.
That would be awesome.
Well, you heard Hanchi. Then Mike's going to be there again as an
mm-hmm.
alumni.
Oh yes, I'm definitely going to be there this year. I just heard about it, and I just saw it online, so I'm going to sign up for this year to go down there. But that's something that you know, we'll discuss with Bob and see what he thinks, and then I'll talk it over with the Grandmaster and what to do. We are going to we are planning on having a seminar pretty soon. For all
okay.
the all systems and all ranks at the school, it's just that, like I said, unfortunately, Mrs. Nunez had knee surgery, had his knee replaced, and
okay.
so he's kind of in and out of
twice.
Everything.
I've been down that road twice. Grandmaster Nunez has been the Masters Hall of Fame many times. We'd love to have him back, and you to come back to the Masters this year. That'd be great.
Yeah, great, sure.
Cool.
Look at that. Anytime, sir. Anytime you want to, just come on down. Teach.
Okay.
Just give us some of your knowledge. Share with the students. Show us a technique. And whatever you would like to do that make you feel comfortable, and I'm sure you're always welcome. Not a problem.
Well, thank you very much. I would probably come down and just go through one of your classes, though. But I do appreciate the offer, and someday I'll have to take you up on that.
Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Nice talking to you.
You too.
Thanks for calling, Hanchi. Well,
thank
we
you,
are
Hanchi.
Going in the last 10 seconds of our live stream, so we're probably going to go over time for about 2 seconds. But I want to thank Grandmaster Nunez and you, Master Mike, for joining us on the show. And it looks like we have Patrick still on the line, too. So thanks for joining us, Patrick.
Yeah, I'd like to say one quick thing here.
Sure.
Something really cool about their dojo, they have mats.
He always says that. He used to grasp and cut. You guys got matches. That way it doesn't hurt when you fall on the floor because the concrete hurts you.
That's
awesome.
That is cool. I've been down the concrete road, boy. It's nice to have mats or carpet.
It doesn't hurt. It's concrete hurts when you fall.
I know, right? It does. Awesome. And thank you also, Hanchi Dan, for calling in for the last portion of our show. What a great show. What do you think, Bob?
It was a great show. No, I was not expecting Master Gomez to be on.
I know. That was so awesome for Master Gomez.
That was so awesome. Absolutely. What a wonderful show. We had another great show. And again, this is to Guru West Bennett. Feel better, my friend.
Yes, feel better, Brother West. And for any of our listeners out there, if you like the show, like what you hear, go ahead and join our Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. Just go to Facebook, look up Dynamic Dojo. You'll find us there. We have a lot of the information that we talk about on the show right there on the page. And if you have any events or anything like that that you'd like to present onto the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page, please do, because we will make it a point to try and announce it in the time that we have. So anyway, thank you everyone for joining us for tonight's show, and thank you, Bob, for being such a great person and a great co-host. Love you, man. All right,
we will
see everyone next week, and we will actually have Hanchi Dan Peck join us next week.
No, ma'am, that is in 2 weeks. Next week we are having Derek Bryan.
That's right. Yeah, Hanchi Dan's probably like crapping on the phone. I'm not on next week. Oh my God. Third Sunday, Hanchi Dan. Sorry about that. Oh, he just pressed one. Third Sunday, Hanchi Dan. Third.
Well, good night. Good night, and thank you very much for having me on your program.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you,
Mike.
Sir.
So next week we'll have Derek Bryant on the line with us, and we'll be talking about executive protection. So we'll see everyone next week with our special guest, Derek Bryant. Bye, everyone. Talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.